Yes, man.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Hanok.
You're the first one to hear.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Yudula Chumincha, Tati. Alakut Gimel Yutat Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nova Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagi Bor Dorche Yehuda Kevavat Shamrim Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharim Rachame Sidkacha Tamid Gamrim Tet Reish Tzadi Taf Gimel. The letters of the month of Av, the Kaf that created the planet Shemesh, the planet Chama, which is known as the Sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the Lion, which is the astrological sign of Leo. Chasim Kadosh Berov Tuvha Nael Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tfiakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Sadiyutas. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emet Notze Chesed La'alafim Notze Awon Wafesha V'chata'a V'nakeh. We will now connect to the energy of the year of the goat. This current year, 5777, there are two verses in the Tanakh that connect to this energy. The first we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Yet we will start first with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bidchilu. Erchimud chilud chilu erchimu. Le'achda l'shem yud he bevav he. B'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konenei aleinu maasei yadeinu konenehu. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai hinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them into three words. Tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to parse them into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this year of the goat is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, appears. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai, yo he wahe, Elohechem tadebaku, kasher asitem, ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to that particular energy. The first that we will study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat ve-lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha-olot vayechaskum acheichem ha-levim ad kelot ha-mlacha Yad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halivim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters, we're able to parse them or permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei. La la hey, wa wa wa, yo la yo, ala me, hey hey hey, a ka a, re ka ha. The second of the two verses is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba Adonai, yo hey wa hey, ade ad. Ki biya yo hey Adonai yo hey wa hey tzur olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. In the Tanakh, there are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam, asher yitchabe sham wishavtem elai el nachon. V'halakti idchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto v'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Tegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayo The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse in the Tanakh with this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti matom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakam ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from Zohar. It connects to the energy of certainty. It comes from Parasha Yitro, and it's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tanenan Dekucha Berichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Yovata Dikshot Pelaid Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Badach Yalea Minea Ulan Haga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzderich Bialma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We'll connect to them by saying the letters using their root vowels. Wahe wayo layo sayo te alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta he zayo alamda La wa he he ya yozala me be he he re yo he ko me la wa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nu ta he he a a Yo re ta shi a he, re yo yo a wa me, la ka be wa shi re, yo he wa la he he, ka wa ko, me nu da anu yo, he a me, re he a, yo yo za. Hey, 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 me yo ha, wa wa la yo la hey, sa la a re yo, a shi la me yo hey, wa hey wa da nu yo, hey hey shi a me me, nu nu a nu yo ta, me be hey hey wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re. Wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo. Da me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. Now to go and connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, we will do this in the same manner. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te ya a me me be shi la yo he anu a ke me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a. Yo tsa la me re he, he yo yo he me me, la wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la, nu me ha yo he yo, May nu hey 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 wa nu yo hey hey shia yo re ta shia hey re la yo a wa me la yo be wa hey re yo yo wa la hey hey ka a ko me nu da a nu yo hey wa me. Re he a yo he za, me he she he me ka ha, wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo, a la me ta he, wa he wa da la yo, he yo she a la me, nu he a nu a ta he. Ta. Me la he pe a yo, nu ko me yo re la, he be he, me za re, wa he be yo a he, a la wa me za yo, da he be me ka ko, a la ab he he wa. Re la he yo yo me, he la yo me he me. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 14th day of Av, Rabbi Svi Hirsch ben Rabbi Aaron Friedman of Liska, Rabbi Yitzhak of Mizrich, or Mizrich, and Rabbi Yitzhak Friedman of Bohush. And it is our want to describe and give you the Tzaddikim who leave for this evening, because we normally do not have a class on Sunday evening. So Sunday evening starts the holiday of Tu B'Av, which is the 15th day of Av. And there is an amazing, truly an amazing tzaddik who left that day. He's known as Nachum Ish Gamzu. He is famous for always saying, Gamzu Litova. This also is for the good. And he would say this at the loss of a limb, at an illness, at a death, God forbid. He would say this for anything and everything that happened in his life. There are a number of stories on our webpage regarding this man, and I highly recommend you read them because they are very, very stimulating. And we are all better off when we learn his lessons. Other people who left on this 15th day, Rabbi Shimon Libya of Tripoli, Rabbi Amram ben Divan, Rabbi Asher II, Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Lehner of Ishbitza Reibzin, Rabbi Meir Nosen ben Rabbi Chaim, known as the Divrei Chaim. His last name is Halberstam. Rabbi David Yosef ben Rabbi Shlomo Yechiel Biederman of Lelov, and Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Halberstam of Rudnik. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper, today's class is preparation for the new year of 5778, the holidays of Tishrei, but it's also still an Av, talking about this holiday of Tu B'Av. The holiday of Tu B'Av is known as the day of Zivug, the day of union. You can find the handout on the unique astrological times link, which you will find underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or if you're using a mobile device, You will find it possibly at the end of the page. When you click on the unique astrological times, relatively close to the surface, to the beginning, is a link for the preparation for Elul and Tishrei holidays. When you open up that page, you will find the link for Tu B'Av underneath the section that says handouts. It's the second link in that section called handouts. And we will start reading at the top of this handout. Tu B'Av literally means the 15th day of Av. It is also is the day of love, or zivug, union. For those people who are sensitive to metaphysical energies and moods, Monday, August 7th, starting tonight, Sunday night, August 6th, is a special day. It is the highest energy day that is not an actual holiday of any day throughout the year. The start of the day is at sundown, Sunday, August 6th, as the Torah tells us that it was evening and then morning, day one. We learn from this that a day starts in the evening, and thus the spiritual energy changes at sundown. The holiday is called Tu B'Av. It is the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Av. It is the strong equivalent of Valentine's Day from the Western calendar, but it is much more than this. It is referred to as the Jewish Valentine's Day for the following reasons. The month of Av is controlled by the sun, which represents male or sharing energy. The 15th day of each Hebrew month is the full moon of that month. Why does the moon cycle from new to full to new again? The moon represents the energy of receiving, which is female. Receiving represents desire, and desires change. The full moon represents the time when the full male energy is being shared with the full female energy of receiving. And this is represented by the Hebrew word zivug, which means sexual intercourse. But it also means the union of two things, which is, of course, what sexual intercourse is all about. This is why this day is so powerful. Use the energy of the day to your benefit. The best way to do that is to share happiness with someone or everyone. Do an unusual sharing act today. You will find it beneficial to your own happiness. It is an excellent day to make donations. It is an excellent day to go visit people and bring joy and happiness into their life. It will be a happy day throughout the world. Of course, not all people will be happy, mostly because they have never learned about the energy of the day and realize that it is Tu B'Av. Here's additional information. It comes from a colleague, a Kabbalah teacher, Rabbi Rachmiel Zoharielev. And this is what he wrote for distribution. It has some of the information above and some additional information. And scarlet is the 15th day of Av, when the daughters of Israel used to go out in garments of scarlet, as it is written, that were brought up in scarlet, a verse from Echa, from Lamentations. And Rashi's comment on this verse, that were brought up in scarlet, in colored garments. The Zohar in the Parasha Truma, the Holy Zohar in the above selection correlates to Ba'av, the 15th day of this month of Av, with the color scarlet, which is a form of the color red. Jewish people have a troublesome history with this color. Notwithstanding the popular segula among some to tie the red strings around their wrist to combat the evil eye. According to the teachings of Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzedak of Kosher Torah, this color red represents givurah, strength, and din, judgment. So much so that we should never, according to the Kabbalah, wear any red on our bodies, nor paint our homes red. The correlation with Tu B'Av is therefore surprising, given that it with Yom HaKippurim is considered one of the happiest days in the Jewish cycle. My commentary. Only 6 days before Tu B'Av, the holiday of Tisha B'Av took place. As we will see below, Tu B'Av is a day of a miracle relating to the generation of the desert, called the generation of knowledge. It is through the wisdom of the Kabbalah, teaching about consciousness, that we have this machlochet, this argument that searches for truth, between the teachings of Rabbi Bar Tzedak and the teachings of the Kabbalah Center. The Kabbalah Center teaches that the red string, when prepared properly, with the consciousness of the matriarch Rachel and the energy of the full moon on the positive months of the Hebrew calendar, and activated with the proper consciousness and tied with seven knots, three above representing Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, then changing the directions of the ties, and three below, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, then changing direction again and tying the final knot as Malchut, will act as a protection shield, just like the shield of David, for the specific issue of Lashon Hara. Of course, it is to be used as a reminder for us to stop saying or hearing or being involved with Lashon Hara. It's also important to know that if you utilize the red string, it needs to be tied on your left arm. The way to reconcile this machlochet is to realize that Rabbi Bar Tzedak is speaking to people about people who learn Kabbalah at the Peshat level, while the teachings of the Kabbalah Center is for people learning Kabbalah at the Drash and the Sod level. The choice is yours. A brief history of Red and the Jewish people. Our primordial ancestor Adam was created from the Adama, the earth. Adama is close to Adomeh, red, for much of the dirt or earth can have a reddish tinge to it. So Adam was the first red man. While there are differing versions of the creation, we know that the name Elohim, representing Givurah, was part and parcel of the first 32 mentions of a creative force in Genesis. So Adam has a Gevuradic inspiration. And we know how his story ended. Based on his desire and his passion, he fell. That desire, perhaps too, is symbolized by red, the unfortunate color of blood that was spilled when his son Cain, out of the zip of a desirous jealousy, killed his brother Hevel. We jump to the patriarchs who looked like Adam, Yaakov Avinu, who poured some of that red stuff down his twin brother Esau's throat in the sale of the latter's birthright. Esau, of course, was called Edom, red, because he was born red, and his blessing was to live by the sword, a weapon whose sole purpose is to bring forth more red, more blood. Fast forward to King David, who was given 70 years of life from Adam's life. King David was born red and of a good eye. This showed that King David's job was to use his warrior skills to pave the world for his kingship and for the Mashiach, his namesake. The red passion and judgment aspects, on the other hand, prevented him from building the temple, which was reserved for his son Shlomo, who was from the source of peace, Shalom, not divisional judgment. The Holy Torah describes the Para Aduma, the red heifer, whose task was to be used as a tool to mitigate the judgment of the disembodied death residue when it was combined with the sweetening waters of kindness. Its blood was sprinkled and it was burned with cedar wood, with hyssop and scarlet stuff, all things that are red. When it was thrown into the fire, a reddish flame. Rashi notes that the Para Aduma's job was to take care of the problem of its daughter, the golden calf, formed out of passionate desire to have a physical connection to replace Moshe, who was thought to be deceased, Chas v'Shalom. Moses was a physical channel to Hashem. When they thought he was dead, they needed a replacement. The worshipers only attracted the fire of God when they got up in the morning to sport passionately. Too, the gold color, according to the Zohar, had a reddish tinge to it. The worship of other entities, of course, is problematic for the children of Israel. The heavenly body Mars, called Ma'adim, literally means red planet and is associated with Givorah in many mystical correlations. Its angel is Samkel, Evan HaShoham. Its influences are blood, wickedness, strife, external injury, war, hatred, and jealousy. This is all from the negative side. Its vowel is the Shiva, related to Givorah. Its day of the week is Monday, a day of judgment, a day of separation. And its letter is Gimel for Gamal, the camel, related to the angel of death in the Zohar. Others teach that the letter He created the planet Ma'adim. Why is Tu B'Av importantly red? The following history is taken from the Practical Judaism that was published by the Feldheim publishers. Six events occurred on Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, making it a festive day in the Jewish calendar. This is a reminder. This is my comment. Kabbalah teaches that no physical event in history is a cause of anything. It is always the effect. The fact that negative or positive things happen on a given day is not significant to the understanding of the essence of the day. Yet the fact that something physical happened in history on a day does help us to understand the energy of that day. If a day is negative, then usually negative events happen on that day. If a day is positive, then usually positive events happen that day. Of course, we must realize that as it relates to the children of Israel, our human perceptions do not apply to a win-lose scenario or concept. The temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av by the Romans and Nebuchadnezzar. These other nations appear in the illusion of history, appear to be winners, while the children of Israel appear to be losers. Actually, both are losers in that the temple tool was for connection to the Creator has been lost, or at least limited. Actually, both are winners, since the exile produces a process that teaches appreciation for all nations and cultures. Human understanding of winners and losers is a corrupt perception caused by the illusion of the physical world. The Mishnah tells us that no days were as festive for Israel as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. What is Tu B'Av, the 15th of the Hebrew month of Av? In which way is it equivalent to Yom Kippur? Our sages explain, Yom Kippur symbolizes God's forgiving Israel for the sin of the golden calf in the desert. For it was on that day that he finally accepted Moses' pleas for forgiveness of the nation. And on that same day, Moses came down from the mountain with the new adjusted second set of tablets. Just as Yom Kippur symbolizes the atonement for the sin of the golden calf, Tu B'Av signifies the atonement for the sin of the spies, where 10 became bearing such negative reports which produced the entire nation to panic. As a result of that sin, it was decreed by God that the nation would remain in the desert for 40 years, and that no person 20 years or older would be allowed to enter the land of Israel. On each Tisha B'Av of those 40 years, those who had reached the age of 60 during that year died, 15,000 each Tisha B'Av. This plague finally ended on Tu B'Av. Six positive events occurred on Tu B'Av. Within each, there is added a short red connection. Event number one. As noted above, the plague that had accompanied the Jews in the desert for 40 years ended. That last year, the last 15,000 people got ready to die. Hashem, in his mercy, decided not to have that last group die, considering all the troubles they had gone through. Now, when the 9th of Av approached, all the members of the group got ready to die. But nothing happened. They then decided that they might have been wrong about the date. So they waited another day, and then another, and another. And finally, on the 15th of Av, when the full moon appeared, they realized definitely that the 9th of Av had come and gone, and they were still alive. Then it was clear to them that God's decree was over, and that he had finally forgiven the people for the sin of the spies. This is what was meant by our sages when they said, no days were as festive for Israel as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. For there is no greater joy than having one's sins forgiven on Yom Kippur for the sin of the golden calf, and on Tu B'Av for the sin of the spies. In the book of Judges, Tu B'Av is referred to as a holiday. The red connection to this, red is the color of the life force given by one's mother. The reddish blood is included. On this day, the soul, which is in the blood, was not taken from the group, and the result was passionate happiness. In addition to this noteworthy event, five other events occurred on Tu B'Av. Events number 2 and 3. Following the case of the daughters of Zelophehad, daughters who inherited from their father when there were no sons were forbidden to marry someone from a different tribe, so that land would not pass from one tribe to another. Generations later, after the story of the concubine of Gibeah, the children of Israel swore not to allow their daughters to marry anyone from the tribe of Benjamin. And this posed a threat of annihilation to the tribe of Benjamin. Each of these prohibitions was lifted on Tu B'Av. The inheriting daughters were allowed to marry outside of their tribe, and the vow against allowing a daughter to marry into the tribe of Benjamin are the two prohibitions and the two events. The people realized that if they kept to their prohibition, one of the 12 tribes might totally disappear. As to the oath that had been sworn, they pointed out that it only affected the generation that had taken the oath, and not subsequent generations. The same was applied to the prohibition of heiresses marrying outside their own tribe. This rule was applied only to the generation that had conquered and divided up the land under Joshua, but not future generations. This was the first expression of the merging of all the tribes and a cause for great rejoicing. In the book of Judges, it is referred to as a festival to the Lord. Over the generations, this day was described in Tractate Tanit as a day devoted to betrothals, so that new Jewish families would emerge. The red of the blood that had been spilled in the civil war with the tribe of Benjamin now was not a barrier to their intermarriage between the tribes. 2, the heiresses need not marry within their own blood, their tribal relatives. Event number 4. After Jeroboam split off the kingdom of Israel with its 10 tribes from the kingdom of Judah, he posted guards along the roads leading to Jerusalem to prevent his people from going up to the holy city for the pilgrimage festivals. For he feared that such pilgrimages might undermine his authority. This was due to because only the king from the tribe of Judah could sit in the holy temple. King Jeroboam feared that when the 10 tribes went up to Jerusalem, they would see his brother king sit while he could not. As a substitute, he set up places of worship which were purely idolatrous in Dan and in Bethel. Thus, the division between the two kingdoms became a fait accompli and lasted, unfortunately, for generations. The last king of the kingdom of Israel, Hosea ben Ela, wished to heal the breach and removed all the guards from the roads leading to Jerusalem, thus allowing his people to make the pilgrimage again. This act took place on Tu B'Av. All idolatrous worship is a child of the golden calf, which was the so-called greatest inappropriate service in our history. This gold is really a reddish-based color. On this day, the guards preventing our true service were removed, and the red was neutralized. My commentary. The event in 2006 on the 10th of Av, giving the land of Gaza and the West Bank to the Palestinian people, was a tikkun of the souls of the soldiers and settlers involved with event number 4. During the period when there were guards on the road, there were some deaths of Jews by Jewish guards, Chas v'Shalom. The souls involved with the action of giving the land to the Palestinians corrected these previous deaths and balanced the universe. Event number 5. At the beginning of the Second Temple period, the land of Israel lay almost totally waste, and the wood needed to burn the sacrifices and pour the eternal flame that had to burn on the altar was almost impossible to obtain. Each year, a number of brave people volunteered to bring the wood needed from afar, a trip which was dangerous in the extreme. Now, not just every wood could be brought. Wood which was worthy was not permitted. And dampness and cold, the weather in the mountains of Judea and Benjamin, are ideal conditions for the breeding of worms in wood. As a result, all the wood that would be needed until the following summer had to be collected before the cold set in. The last day that wood was brought in for storage over the winter months was Tu B'Av, and it was a festive occasion each year when the quota needed was filled by that fire. Fire, of course, has a reddish tinge, and the wood provided the fuel to feed it. Event number 6. Long after the event, the Romans finally permitted the bodies of those who had been killed in the defense of Betar in the Bar Kokhba revolt to be buried. This was a double miracle in that first, the Romans finally gave permission for the burial, and second, in spite of the long period of time that had elapsed, approximately 7 years, the bodies had not decomposed. The permission was granted unto Ba'av. In gratitude for this double miracle, the fourth and last blessing of the grace after meals was added, which thanks God as he who is good and does good. He is good in that the bodies had not decomposed, and does good in that permission was given for the burial. These slain bodies, bloody and torn, were in the same condition many years later. They were buried in the Adama, in the ground related to Edom, with permission from the Edomites, the Romans. To this day, we celebrate Tu B'Av as a minor festival. We do not say Tachanun on that day, nor are eulogies rendered. By the same token, if a couple are getting married on that day, as we will see below, it is the custom for the bride and groom to fast on their wedding day. Neither fasts if they marry on Tu B'Av. Beginning with Tu B'Av, we start preparing ourselves spiritually for the month of Elul, the prologue to the coming days of Av. The days begin to get shorter, the nights to get longer. The weather, too, helps us to take spiritual stock. The hectic days of the harvest are over for the farmer, and the pace has slowed down considerably. Even on a physical level, the heat of the summer makes it hard to sit down and think things through. And now that the days and nights are cooler, it is easier to examine one's actions. In the earlier times, it was the custom, already from Tu B'Av, to use as one's greeting, "May your inscription and seal be for good." Ketiva v'chatima tova. The same blessing that we today use on Rosh Hashanah. Those who work out the gematria values of different expressions found that phrase adds up to 928. And so does the words for Tu B'Av when spelled out. Love as fire. In the words of a Kabbalah teacher, Rabbi Kalman Warch, if Yom HaKippurim is the wedding where we wear white to unite as one with Hashem at Mila, and if Elul is the initial letters of Ani L'Dodi V'Doli Li, I am for my beloved and for my beloved is for me, is the beginning of significant closeness and courtship. Since the king is in the field for all to come close to him in Teshuvah, then Tu B'Av perhaps is dressing for the first date in our upward ascension towards soul reunion. Two, there are some that note that Tu B'Av is 40 days before the creation of the world that takes place on the 25th of Elul. And thus in heaven that birth is announced. Passion. It all depends on passion. Without passion, our prayers, our learning, our mitzvot are lifeless, dead, and unfortunately ineffectual. Tu B'Av opens up the Jacob part of the month, originally given to Esau. We see this hinted in the permutation of Hashem's name associated with the month of Av. He, Wav, Yud, He. The first part of the month shows the judgment, where the letter He governs over its Vav. But after the midpoint on the 15th day, the letters Yud and He, which total 15, are in order, showing the passionate union between friends who never separate. The Av, the father of Menachem Av, and Ima, the mother, which is the moon prior to the fall and loss of her light. This passion is described in both the Mishnah and the Talmud. For on those days, the daughters of Jerusalem would go forth dressed in white borrowed garments, so as not to embarrass those who lacked financial support for a new garment. And each garment was first immersed in living waters to cleanse them of any menstrual blood. And the daughters of Jerusalem would then go forth and dance in the vineyards. And what did they chant? Young man, lift up your eyes and observe. What is it that you are discerning for yourself? Cast not your eyes upon our outer beauty. Rather, examine our family background. Later sages added the following. Those whom women who were attractive declared, set your eyes upon our beauty. Those who were of nobility declared, set your eyes on our family origins. Those who were not so attractive declared, take us for the sake of heaven, but also adorn us with beautiful garments and ornaments. Here in the Sadie Hawkins Day fashion, perhaps as aggressively as Scarlett O'Hara, the desire of the woman for union is revealed. It is a fiery passion. For Esh, for fire, is related to Isha, the woman. And this is the kind of burning love we must develop to prepare ourselves for the days of awe. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, related to Givurah, to the red. This must be, in the language of the Tanya, a love like reddish gold. As gold is superior to silver, there is a love superior to all others. And a burning desire to leave the body, returning only for the sake of making the makom, the place for Hashem in this world. Our task on Tu B'Av is to figure out how to channel our passions, which are all really manifestations of our desire to connect with the eternal towards returning home to that place of balance, to the Makom, to the omnipresence. That love is strong as death, requiring the Para Aduma to nullify death, disembodied residue. Jealousy is hard as the grave for those in the desert as well as those buried in Beitar. The flashes are flashes of fire, the burning of the temple wood collected up till the 15th of Av, and the flame of Hashem. This fiery red passionate love, however, must be housed in clean white garments, for we are promised that even though we may be red with sins, through Teshuvah we can be whitened as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Purge me of sin with hyssop, which is red used with the Para Aduma, and I shall be pure. Cleanse me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let your garments always be white. Garments of white, garments of scarlet. The woman in the Tu B'Av narrative in the Mishnah all wore white borrowed garments, showing their purity. The Zohar, however, says that they all went out in scarlet garments. Which was it? Perhaps we must say both. If the Zohar representing Sod, the secret, is the inner lifeblood of the body of the Torah, which is also the oral law of the Talmud, then perhaps the women were wearing inner garments of scarlet for their fiery passion. They also immersed and purified their external white garments, thus doing teshuvah. With both, they were ready for union, just as the community of Israel is ready to join with the Holy One, blessed be He. We thus turn to the very, very beginning of the Zohar, the Book of Splendor, which begins its discussion of the 13th petal rose, with a quote from the Holy of Holies of Scripture, Shir HaShirim. Rabbi Hizkiah began by quoting, "As the lily amongst the thorns, it is the community of Israel, because there is a lily and there is a lily. Just as a lily among the thorns is tinged with red and white, so is the community of Israel affected by the qualities of judgment and mercy. Just as the lily has 13 petals, so the community of Israel is surrounded by the 13 attributes of mercy. Thus, between the first mention of the name Elohim and the second mention, there are 13 words." This is in the first chapter of Genesis. These words surround and guard the community of Israel. My love is like a red, red rose. Don't read my love as the object of my love, rather my love as my passion, which is doubly red, doubly passionate. This is the lehitavlut, passion. Lehavot esh, like shafts of fire, that we must develop inside the upcoming days. At the same time, and part and parcel of our return, we must whiten our garments, our deeds, our speech, and thoughts to be able to stand in purity throughout Elul on Rosh Hashanah and during the 10 days of Teshuvah, and especially on Yom HaKippurim, the day of cleansing and cleaving to the cosmic Bina. Both the white and the red are two friends who never separate. The white semen is given from the Father, forming the bones, the sinews, the fingernails, and the toenails, the brain and the whites of the eyes, the red seed, the skin, the flesh, the blood, and the hair, from the mother. And both come together in the two garments, red and white, on the 15th, Yud and Hay, Yud from the father and Hay from the mother, worn by the women in their dancing expression of desire to become one with their other half, and thereby growing seven times, as the prophecy in Isaiah states. There are some additional commentaries, which I am going to skip due to time considerations. Please skip down to the place where it says, here is a meditation to increase the purity of your thoughts as we approach Rosh Hashanah in the next 45 days. This is a teaching from the Ari. The word makshava, which means thought or consciousness, can be read as chashav ma. Think of ma. Think of mem he. This means that one should visualize five times the extended expansion of Hashem's name, Havaya, filled with olives, which in Gematria is 45, just like the word ma. Yud Vav Dalet, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph. Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph. Vav Aleph Vav, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph. Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph. If you meditate on this sequence five times each day, especially between now and Rosh Hashanah, you will find this to cleanse your thoughts, to cleanse yourself, because once you've cleansed your thoughts, the balance gets cleansed as well. Return to this meditation frequently. Become a mensch, become an Adam, whose gematria is 45. Each line above, those letters that I read to you, have a gematria of 130, which is the gematria for a ladder, for the sulam. 130 is 13, which is the number of unity, times 10, which is a complete structure of 10 sephirot, a part suf. 130 is the gematria of our organ of sight, the ayin, the eye. And 113 is the gematria of the word for Ani, spelled Ayin Nud Yud, a humble person. Some people see that as being a poor person, but it really meant represents a humble person. It's also 130 is the gematria of the word Sinai, as in the name Mount Sinai. I am adding, one of the essences of this meditation is to realize that the path to unity starts with the ladder to Sinai, where the gift of the Torah is potentially received, where we learn that true vision can only be received by the humble person. In addition, a student of Kabbalah needs to realize that what is the meaning of each number adding up to 130? 20 means Kaf, which is the palm, which is the map of life. 26 is the gematria of the name of Hashem. 39 is the gematria of Du, Tal, is the Hebrew word, and this is the connection to Mashiach. 45 is the gematria of Adam, representing the unity of male and female. There is a verse from the Zohar in the book of Bereshit. Makshava chashavma yuvaya tishkach shema kadisha ugin Yaakov dehu Yisrael etmar vayevra Elohim et ha'adam betsalmo bediyokna demaraya. This verse can be said along with this meditation. The translation of this verse, thought, which is Makshava, consists of the letters Chashavma, think of Memhe. And Memhe refers to Yud and He and Vav and He, fully spelled with Aleph. Yud Vav Dalet He Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav He Aleph, in which the holy name lies. Because of Jacob, who is called Israel, it is written, so God created man in his own image, after the likeness of his master. This next, again, because of time considerations, I'm going to skip, but I highly recommend this feminine essay perspective on Tu B'Av by Rebbetzin Chana Siegelbaum relating the dancing on Tu B'Av and marriages. We have completed our class. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting your phones, I will discuss the classes that are upcoming. Today, all of the times that I will mention are West Coast times. At 3 o'clock today, we will continue our classes on the goodness of the land of Israel. We've been doing them in this time slot, but as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the 22 days of the Tishrei holidays, as we prepare the cleansing of Elul, the Teshuvah of Elul, we will continue our classes at the 3 o'clock time slot on the goodness of the land of Israel, because they are related. We will also continue our discussions of the Third Temple, and you will understand more of why we are doing that when we discuss the energy of the year 5778. But this coming Monday at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. We're presently in section 6 of the Parasha Noach from the Zohar. And at 7 o'clock on Monday, we will continue our classes on the Third Temple. Tuesday at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, we will begin or continue our studies of the writings of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. Wednesday at 4:30, a mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, our questions and answers sessions. Thursday at 4:30 will be a class on advanced reincarnation, and at 7 o'clock, a Zohar class for the Parasha of Ekev. This coming Saturday, actually Motzi Shabbat, at 6 p.m. we will have Havdalah and our third and fourth meal connections to strengthen our immune system. And at 7 o'clock, Motzi Shabbat, we will have the Zohar class for the next parasha, which is Re'eh. There is no Zohar on the month on the parasha of Re'eh. Two very important announcements that needs to be put on your calendar. Starting on the second day of Elul, that's the day after Rosh Chodesh, the day after our connection to Rosh Chodesh, which is the evening of August 22nd, is our Rosh Chodesh connection. But that next evening, starting on the 23rd, we will start studying the Tikkuni Zohar. Every night, the class will be at 8:15 West Coast time, and every morning at 7:30 West Coast time, we will do Slichot together as a community. Come learn about Slichot in the next few weeks on Sunday mornings. But we will do the connections every day as a community. I hope you will join us both in the evening and in the morning. Starting on the second day of Elul for 40 days, ending on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom HaKippurim. This is the cleansing that is needed. Many people, unfortunately, consider teshuvah a process of beating themselves up, of realizing how horrible they are because of all of the mistakes they've made in this last year. That's not the Jewish way. It's not the teachings of the Kabbalah. The teachings of the Kabbalah are utilize the Hebrew letters to cleanse yourself. Utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to cleanse yourself. Utilize the shofar to cleanse yourself. And we will be doing all of these things during the month of Elul through the 40 days ending on Yom Kippur. We will do it in the morning and we will do it in the evening, as the Torah teaches us. Your Torah study should be day and night. Does anyone have any questions? I bid you all a beautiful week, a week of peace, a week filled with the desire to create peace and to bring peace. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.